Folks, it's lovely to see you this morning, and looking forward to a wee minute or two to hearing from the girls and boys. I'm going to come down in a minute or two and chat to you as well, but before that, we're going to come to God's Word together, and we're going to read it. This is the last Sunday that we're going to be looking at the timing of Christmas, and we've looked at Mary's time, Joseph's time, God's perfect timing, and now we're going to look at Jesus' time this morning, and I've jumped away forward in the story. Because this is when Jesus was 12 years old, so it might be a bit strange thinking about Jesus as a 12-year-old, like some of you guys down here are 12, there must be somebody that's 12 or 10 or 11, 12 that age, and not the little baby, but it's important for us to read all about Jesus before he becomes a man. So I just invite you all to turn with me, Luke chapter 2, reading verse 41. Every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why are you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in the favor with God and men. Amen. And we ask God to bless us as we read his word together. Now, I am going to, at this stage, come down and have a wee chat, which is actually good because you're all down here anyway. We don't have to be on you all thumping down the stairs and then send you back up again and back down again. So you're not going to be tired this morning. What I want to talk to you about this morning is obviously Christmas. Saying as it's almost Christmas. Now, how many more sleeps is it? One. Well, we all know the answer to that question. One more sleep. One more sleep. What's happening now after one more sleep? You get Brussels sprouts for dinner. Yay! After one more sleep, you're one more sleep closer to getting back to school. Yeah. All the parents are going, woo. One more sleep, what's going to happen? Presents. Yes, presents. One more sleep, you're going to get presents. And yes, Santa will bring some presents, will he? Yeah. Do you think so? Do you think so? Have you been good? Good lad. Because you can't be naughty, you have to be nice. For get presents from Santa. But tell me this, have you got a Christmas tree at home? Yeah. Has Santa been yet? Yeah. Is there any presents in below your tree yet? Yeah. Yes. There is. Because it's not just Santa that brings presents. Sure it's not. No. Have you bought any presents this year? Anybody bought any presents this year? Yeah. Yes. Did you buy a present? You definitely went into a shop. You've bought loads and loads of presents. Good for you. Well, we buy presents for other people, don't we? Sometimes we buy presents for teachers. Anybody take a present in for their teacher?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who bought that? No. Your mommy. Yeah. And in your house, there'll be lots of presents under the tree. Presents come from grannies and grandas and aunties and uncles and cousins and all those things. And then in Santa, that's tomorrow, but we're not tomorrow yet. We're talking about today. And you'll have presents there that your mommy will have got for you. And they'll be wrapped up in below the tree. There'll be presents that mummy has got for daddy, and they'll be wrapped up under the tree. There'll be presents that mummy has got for herself, and set them on the father's desk, saying, "Would you just even wrap it up for me?" But that was a couple of years ago, and that doesn't happen now. Actually, this year, I bought myself a present and left it for Ruth. That was the first time that's ever happened in 18 years. But yes, we all buy presents for other people. So, Christmas is about gifts. One of the big things is gifts. And of course we know who was the best gift at Christmas, don't we? Who's the best gift at Christmas? Jesus, every time. That's always the answer. Jesus is the best gift. And Jesus is God's gift to us. To us. Now, whenever you buy a present to somebody, what's a good thing for us to do? Get one back again. We give presents. We give presents and then we receive presents. There's nothing as bad as giving somebody a Christmas gift and then them going, thanks very much. I'm giving you nothing back. We give and we receive presents. So it got me thinking. God has given us this greatest gift. What did you buy for God this Christmas? Have you got anything wrapped up for Christmas? Huh? What have you got? Have you got God in for Christmas? No? See, I started to think, what does God want for Christmas? And now I need a volunteer because I'm going to try and illustrate. Now, I need a volunteer. I need a very special volunteer. I need a volunteer who can stand here perfectly still. Archie Stewart, get your hand down. Because you're your father's son, and I know you cannot stand still. Will we see? We'll get somebody. Could stand. Can you stand still? Come you up here and you stand still. And we're going to try and see what kind of things. Oh dear, I put that down. I can't bend down. What does God want for Christmas? Well, I have a couple of things here that will maybe help us to begin to understand what God wants at Christmas. And a real wee fancy thing. So I had, and I broke it. So I can't put it on my hand. You ever seen one of these before? These are the greatest invention. Look out there. One piece of tape. No, it's supposed to sit in the back of your hand, but it broke. So it's pretty good, but it broke. So, can you put your hands up? Right side. Excuse me. Now, can you just pinch that wee bit there? Excellent. Where's my scissors? Short back and sides. These ponytails are out of fashion now anyway. Didn't do it. Didn't dare. Now, wait, we see. Where was your finger and thumb? Do you want your finger and thumb stuck in here or not? No. Right, wait, we see. There we go. Now, I know there's these fancy people. You keep hold of the sides that can just go whoosh. I just haven't really got the skills for that. I can't even get it to cut. See all these, I hear crafty people going, we've tore it already, look. Let me see, we'll try and get you all wrapped up a wee bit better here. Now, you keep hold, I didn't even stick it on, look. Dear, dear. There we go. Louise says, if your arm's right, it's going to fall. Louise says, I need a helper. Louise said, I need a helper. She wants to do this, you see. Total OCD. I thought I was OCD at the start. Right, here you go. Fancy scissors. Do you use scissor work? What do you see this here now? What do you see? Wouldn't that just make you sick? Right, where are we at? Ox, you keep your oxters up. Ew. Here we go. Now, here, put another couple of bits of tape on it. This is great. I should wrap more Christmas presents, I think. Well, she has to get home somehow. But I'm doing it! I'm doing it! Look! He saw that! Awesome! Awesome. What do you see now? Get a wee bit over here. Oh, over the top. Oh, it's worth a minute worse. Put your arm up. There we go. Wrap a wee bit around there, look, Louise. Got it. There we go. There's a wee bit around there, look, just there. Now, we could keep going until you were completely wrapped up. Thank you, Louise. We could keep going until you're completely wrapped up, couldn't we? Then what do we need? We need a label. Oh. Because you just can't, we need an address. So we'd have to write heaven. just put heaven on here, stick her in the back of the post van, and she'll definitely get there. And this could be, you could be God's gift from us this Christmas. Would that be a good gift, would it? Huh? Well, I have a wee label here that says, somebody said it, to God. I have a wee label that says, to God. What has to go on the bottom? Your name. What's your name? Rebecca. Rebecca. I can spell Rebecca. I always have to check if it's one that I can spell first. Let's see. So, we could put on this. Rebecca. There's it. R-E-B. R-E-B. E. C-C-A. I could spell that. But you know why I'm not writing it on here? Because it's not really my job to decide if Rebecca wants to be God's gift to God. That's a decision Rebecca has to make for herself. Rebecca has to be able to say, like the rest of you, God gave me Jesus. And what does God want back? He wants my, somebody said it over here a while ago. Soul, heart. He wants us to be his children. In return, that's the gift that God wants. That's why he sent Jesus. So that we would accept that great gift. And in doing so, we would give our lives and our hearts to Jesus. Now, Rebecca, you can rip all that off. That's the fun bit, isn't it? Rip it all off. Good girl. Louise, is you that well stuck in now? This is going to take to about 10 past 12. Excellent. Good girl. You see, the question there was, would Rebecca, she'd be able to spell her own name, but would she be able to write her own name on one of these wee gift tags? And that's only for Rebecca to answer. And that's something that I want all of you boys and girls to think about this Christmas. Good man. Are you able to write your name on a gift tag as a way of saying, take one and pass it down, as a way of saying, God, thank you for Jesus. And in saying thank you, I am going to give you myself. There we go. Of course he does. Now, I know some of you might not be able to write all that well yet, but this is something you can go home and talk to mummies and daddies or grannies or uncles or whoever, aunties. Now, I wish, two for the end there, is it too late? Any other boys and girls? There's a man down there, look, let's get one as well. And there's a wee woman in there. Oh, I know, you tell me, she's waited till I walked all the way over here to get a wee girl on the far side. There's a wee man in there. There's a wee girl in there. Oh, Sandra. I'm going to go out around. I got a class there. I'm going to go around the other side. And then he appears. Where'd he go? There he's on there. There you go, good man. Where was the other wee girl on the other side? Oh, here we go. Did I miss any more? There's one in there. Is there any upstairs? A couple. Oh, my word. Upstairs. Now, there better be children up here, Johnny. Here's your looking one. Here we go. Here's one for you. Where else? Oh, there's one in there. There we go. Any more? Oh, there's a couple of them. Here we go, wee man. There's a wee thing for you. Anybody else? A couple up at the back. A couple, he says. There's four or five up here. There you go. Take you one for your sister. Excellent. All right, Wayne, you're not getting one. There's not enough left. Oh. There we go. Now, there's a sense in which I wish I had one of these for everybody. But after 50, I get fed up cutting them out and putting me green bits of wool on them. But folks, this is what Christmas is about. Could you take one of these from me today and put your name on the bottom of it? That's the question. We're going to sing about Jesus now. And then we're going to think about Jesus' time a little bit later on, after the boys and girls sing to us as well. But we're going to sing together now as we think about this baby who came for us, as we sing Away in the Manger. Let's all stand together while I try and get my breath back. Now, boys and girls, you've been sitting really well, and you've done really well. And what you're going to experience now is what your mummies and daddies and all the grown-ups have to endure every Sunday when you escape out that door to K4C. A 25-minute sermon. Are you sitting comfortably? No. There's not a 25-minute sermon this morning, folks. It's only 24 and a half. Just for a moment or two, I want to finish off the thing that we've been looking at was time. And boys and girls, whenever you went out the last couple of Sundays, I was talking to the mummies and daddies about Mary's time. Mary, that young girl who became pregnant through the Holy Spirit and went on to give birth to Jesus, Mary's mummy. We talked about her time. And then we talked about Joseph, the daddy, and his time and what that meant for him. And then at our carol service, we talked about God's perfect timing. And God's timing is perfect. And that's hard for us to get our head around, even as adults, from time to time. We don't know why certain things happen, but then maybe weeks or months or even years later, we realize that's why that happened, and we realize that God was in control and God is in control. And even hearing that reply or that little update from Mark and Caroline, just, you know, why are we going over to this part of the world? Well, they've got there, and now it's been revealed to them and revealed to them and revealed to them. So God has a perfect timing for us. But I wanted to just finish by talking about Jesus' time. Jesus' time here on earth. And I want to ask you a question, everybody, and you can give the answer. We had a few answers down in Clocky earlier on. What age were you at your earliest memory? So that the thing that you remember being the youngest at, can anybody want to offer any numbers? Were you 5, 6, 9? Oh, look at this old boy here at the front. What age were you? You were 2. He's now a whole 10, so that's a whole 8 years ago. You've got some memory. Anybody else got any? Anybody can remember 3? You can remember being 3, Heather. Wow. Well, I was going to say that, but the Lord said no. But thank you for sharing that with us. So three. Now, I asked down in Clocky, was there any advance? Somebody said they were a year and a half old, and the next one was two. That was an adult. Couldn't count. So can anyone remember younger than three? Younger than three. Anybody? Can any of you remember this morning? Let's start with something that's a wee bit easier. Can you remember getting out of bed? What about yesterday, the week before?
A year and a half.
A year and a half. Well done. Wow. Well, I can remember things before I could walk. Now, that doesn't mean that I was six or seven when I was walking. I walked at a normal age. But I was able to talk before I could walk. And yes, I've shared this before. And after the cup of tea, and you haven't kept up since, you haven't kept quiet since, you haven't shut up since. I know all of that. I talk a lot. God gave me a job talking. But I can remember things later on when I was in my teens. We had been talking about certain people and their homes. And I can say, I couldn't remember being in that home. And my mom said, you could not remember being in that home because you were in the pram. But I can remember wallpapers or the way rooms were laid out, things that people said, things that people wore. I can just remember. There's half a dozen things that memories that I have of being a very, very young baby, almost a toddler, not even just a toddler. But as I think of Jesus being born, I always struggle to get my head around this. And I'm going to say something now that I don't have an answer for. This is just something I cannot get my head around. Now, we have two children, and I remember what they're like as babies. Helpless. We were all babies. We were all helpless. We have to have everything done for us. And as I think of Jesus, this little baby, born just at the right time, this little baby, completely helpless, but fully God. He maintained his full divinity while being a baby. It just blows my mind. But this is God we're talking about. Fully human, fully divine, at the same time. When did Jesus begin to talk? When did he begin to understand? When did he begin to reason? We don't know, but we do know by the time he gets to 12 years of age, that's the passage that we read this morning. Jesus, 12 years of age, in the temple, has an understanding of who he is. A verbal understanding. I said that Joseph was a quiet man in the Christmas story. Well, just in thinking about this week, I realized, well, Jesus is almost completely passive in this story. He's just a little baby. He has to be fed, he has to be carried, he has to be changed. He can do nothing for himself. And it's not until he's 12 until we hear his first words. And he's in the temple. And the people there are amazed. They're amazed at Jesus' answers. Now, I'm amazed at some of your answers, boys and girls. I have to say, you know a lot of stuff. You are being well taught at K4C. And we want to say thank you to everyone who teaches in K4C and for teaching our children that part of our covenant community responsibilities. But Jesus' understanding had the teachers, the ministers, they were going, wow. Now, I'm not sure whether Jesus just knew a lot for a 12-year-old, but I suspect that he knew more than even some of the adults did. Because he knew who his father was. Now, not Joseph, his father. He knew who his heavenly father was. He knew he was the son of God, not just the son of Joseph. I have to be in my father's house. He was in the temple. But his development hadn't just finished, because in verse 52, it says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. Now, again, this is more to do with his physical appearance, his physical abilities, his position within society. But however he did it, Jesus held infancy, childhood, and even adulthood perfectly human in one hand. And on the other side, divinity. He held those things perfectly equally. And God's plan was revealed through Jesus. The timing of that plan was perfect. It was a perfectly timed plan as well. And we know when we think about Jesus coming from heaven to earth, we think of that verse that we know very well. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Sometimes that's God sent his one and only son. Now, boys and girls, have you ever been sent to do something? Yeah. Was it something you wanted to do? Yeah. You know, sometimes you're sent to do something you don't want to do. When you're sent to do something, the reply is, okay. And you go and you slap your feet and your arms are down, I don't want to do it. That's not the way it was for Jesus. Jesus, when he was in heaven, we're told in Philippians that Jesus came willingly. He made himself nothing. He took on the very nature of a man for us. But we pick the story up on earth in Luke chapter 2, Matthew chapter 1, about this baby being born, and we've looked at those stories. Then there's a big jump. We hear nothing about Jesus until he's 12. And we hear this little one little story when he's 12, and then we don't hear anything more until he's 30. Now, I'm here, and I'm in my early 40s, and it's just flown past like that. And a man said to me, a clocky this morning, says, "Wait till you get to 60, it just flies past everybody as quickly." But life does fly past, doesn't it, folks? Life flies past. But with these two big jumps in Jesus' life, until he gets to 30, he's baptized and he begins his public ministry. So in one sense, his time to be a minister, his time to be ministering and teaching has come, but it's not fully come. There's still development. There's still things to be waited for and times. Because we see in John chapter 2, he's at the wedding, he's asked to help out, and he turns the water into wine, but he says to his mother, "Why are you involving me? Because my time has not yet come." So it's time for his public ministry, but not time for the full revelation of who Jesus is. The rest of the Gospels tell us these wonderful stories of how Jesus calms storms. Boys and girls, what else did Jesus do? He saves us from our bad dreams as well, that's right. Any stories in the Bible that he did that was really special? He died on the cross. Anything before he died on the cross? Yeah, go ahead. What did Jesus do that you think was amazing? We have a blank. What do you think? He saved one of his friends. He raised somebody from the dead. He healed people from diseases. And he taught in ways that nobody had heard before. He had great authority. And all of that revealed, every one of those stories just revealed who Jesus was, what he has done for us. But then there was a time. Jesus knew the time was right. Luke chapter 9, as the time approached to be taken up into heaven, Jesus set his face towards Jerusalem. There was a time in his life and in his ministry when he knew there was a purpose and a direction that he needed to go. So Jesus heads off to Jerusalem. He goes into the upper room with his disciples. In John chapter 12, he says, "The hour has come. The time has come for the Son of God to be glorified." The disciples didn't know what that meant. He spent time with them in the upper room. On his way out, he said, "The time has come. Glorify your Son." He prays to God as he leaves the upper room. Jesus knows where he's going when he leaves the upper room. It wasn't simply just getting to Jerusalem. It was time for something else. And he shared with us how he felt about that when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane in the Mount of Olives. Matthew 26, at the end of that time of prayer, when Jesus prayed so earnestly that drops of blood came out. He prayed so earnestly. At the end of that, he says, "The hour is near. The time has come. Here comes my betrayer." That was the time when Jesus was arrested. And I was looking through the different accounts during the week. And the next time is actually a time on the clock. The next important point, the time was the sixth hour. In the sixth hour, we find Jesus on the cross. He says, "Father, to you I commit my spirit." John 19, the words of Jesus are, "It is finished." That was a time when the job was done. The job that he was born to do. Well, one part of it was done. Because there's more time. There's another time. There's a time early in the morning on the third day when the ladies go to the empty tomb and they find that Jesus is not there. He is risen. And the story starts, it was sad, but now the story starts to take a more positive turn. It becomes a happy story once again. But this is why Jesus came. He came to be born as a child, to grow up to be a man, to minister to us, to teach us and to perform miracles, to prove who he was, what God was doing. He was born to die for our sins. And he was born to rise just at the right time and all for us. Jesus' time on earth was spent for us. He came for us, not for himself, for you, for me, for everyone. But has time extended a little bit beyond this, after the resurrection? Because Jesus always referred throughout the stories to a time when he would be taken up into heaven. And he predicted this on a number of occasions. John chapter 14, he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. John chapter 16, he says to the disciples, in a little while you will see me no longer. But on both of those occasions, Jesus said he was leaving, but he also said he was coming back. He predicted his return. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I do, I'm going to come back and take you to be with me. In a little while you will see me no longer, but in a little while you will see me again. I will return. See, it was a perfect time for Jesus to come to earth as a baby. It was a perfect time for Jesus to come back. There's also a block of time in between these two events. So there's two events here. And Jesus tells us that these two events, they're not our concern. The disciples asked him about the timing of these events in Acts chapter 1. It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set for his own authority. Set by his own authority. See, the Israelites knew there was a Savior coming. They didn't know when he was coming. But when the time was right, God sent his Son. As Christians living today, we know Jesus Christ is going to return. When's he going to return? Not our concern. He will come back at the right time. But what we have concern about, and what we are aware of, and what we know about, is the time in between the two events. Paul writes this, as God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor, now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. These are the days when we can be saved. And when we are saved, we should be fulfilling that command of Jesus, go and make disciples. That's what Paul is saying, as God's fellow workers. In this room, we have two different types of people. We have people who know and love Jesus Christ. Friends, this is Christmas. This is a penalty kick for us to talk about Jesus and the reason that he came and why he came. And if we have him in our lives, to talk about him in our lives and tell people what that means and the joy that that brings to your life. A joy whenever the tree is down, the decorations are down, all the turkey is ate, all the curries have been curried, everything is done and dusted and put away. Christmas will soon be as far away as ever it was. But Jesus will still be in your life. The joy will still be there to be shared. And if you don't know Jesus, now is the time of God's favor. Not when he returns. Now is the time of God's favor. Friends, today could be the day of salvation for you. Today could be the day you take one of those little gift labels and write your name on it. Saying, God, I recognize that you sent Jesus for me as the greatest gift. My response is to give my life to you for your glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise you for this Christmas story. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless us as we leave this building, as we sing our final piece of praise, as we go to our homes and share in this Christmas time. Lord, may all of us be reminded of your perfect timing in our lives, made aware of it, Lord, so that we can glorify you. We ask this in Jesus' name.